This is Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos reporting from the newsroom in New York. And as the world's largest tech companies sell more devices than ever, with a raft of new gadgets coming this fall from Google, Amazon, and Microsoft, it appears as though only Apple is making much money. Heard on the Streets, Dan Gallagher joins us to talk about the new ways big tech is trying its hand at hardware and how it's proving to be a tough task. But first, these tech headlines. Uber eyes a 2021 food delivery drone unit. The San Francisco company is seeking an operations executive who can help make delivery drones functional as soon as next year. The Journal's Greg Bensinger and Andy Pastor have more at WSJ.com about Uber's ambitious timeline and the numerous technical challenges and regulatory hurdles ahead. Leaders in Los Angeles are seeking civic commitment from the tech industry. Case in point, tech businesses, including Dollar Shave Club and Hyperloop One, have signed on to a project by the Annenberg Foundation called Pledge LA, whose commitment includes working with community nonprofits and seeking tech-driven solutions to local challenges such as traffic and housing. And Amazon takes a page from Apple's App Store. Last month, Amazon expanded the capability of developers who create skills for its AI assistant. Developers can now charge users for purchases within skills, such as hints or special powers in a game. The goal is to create incentive to make better skills and ultimately make Alexa a more valuable platform, much like Apple did with the App Store. Coming up, big tech keeps trying its hand at hardware this fall. A look at whether new devices from Google, Amazon, and Microsoft can make their mark. According to Heard on the Streets' Dan Gallagher, the world's largest tech companies are selling more devices than ever, but only Apple makes much money doing it. With that harsh reality unlikely to change soon, companies like Google, Amazon, and Microsoft are still poised to churn out a swath of gadgets this fall, including smartphones, smart speakers, tablets, laptops, and even a voice-activated oven. Here to talk the tough market that lies ahead and why big tech will continue to keep trying its hand at hardware is Heard on the Streets' Dan Gallagher joining us from San Francisco. Hi, Dan. Welcome back.
Good to be here.
So your latest reminds us that despite all the gadgets that big tech has coming down the pike this fall, experts are saying that even if things go astoundingly well, Apple is still going to keep destroying the competition. Not exactly, a morale booster. So what's the game plan for these other big tech companies with regards to devices, and how are they scrambling to overcome this harsh reality?
Well, I think the way to look at it is that for the companies that are not named, for the big and I'm talking about the big companies, Microsoft, Google, Amazon, Facebook now, because they just started this,
sure.
These big tech companies that aren't really known for devices now all have devices in the market. And some of them have had devices for a few years now. But I think the trick to understanding it is that for these companies, it's they're not so much driven to have the number one share of devices in their particular whatever category they might be competing in. Because for them, it's more about what the devices are enabling consumers to actually do. And what these devices do is they are portals into these companies' services. So if you buy an Amazon Echo speaker, Amazon, of course, wants to sell as many of those as they can. For Amazon, the most important thing is that these speakers allow people to interact with Amazon services. So you're more likely to have an Amazon Music subscription and maybe even buy things through it. And so that's why for Amazon, they want speakers out there, but they're also partnering with companies like Sonos to put the same technology on other people's speakers. Because ultimately, for Amazon, they just want as many people as they can interacting with its services. And the devices that it makes are really good funnels for that, but the devices aren't necessarily an end unto themselves, if that makes sense.
Right, because what it comes down to is engagement and how easily it integrates with our lives, not necessarily through a smartphone always. And like you said, Amazon certainly has found a way into our lives via the Echo. Tablets are another example, and we see Microsoft really tackling that specific market.
Yeah, they haven't. Microsoft's actually a good example of this in the sense that they've actually had good success with what they've tried to do with their Surface tablets. They came in with essentially a premium Windows tablet device for which there was no market before. There had been other attempts to make nice Windows tablets. They'd kind of fallen flat. And the fact that Microsoft has come out there and created a business that's now about $4 billion in sales every year is they found a valuable niche in kind of business-focused tablets. But again, what they generate through their kind of their whole Surface line, which now includes laptops and tablets, is less than 10% of what Apple generates in the sales of its iPad and Mac. So it's still very small. But again, back to my point, for Microsoft, yeah, they want to sell as many of these things as they can, but what these devices really show is they turn out to be a really strong showcase for Windows and the various, you know, Windows-based software and services that Microsoft makes. It kind of pulls along other companies that are in that ecosystem to kind of to say, okay, there is a market for like a premium design product. So now you're seeing companies like HP and Dell step up their own designs, and they're actually seeing some success at that.
Toughest market to crack is still smartphones, though. So where do the rest stand in terms of dealing with that very specific bleak reality? And when do investors start to really think about this too?
Yeah, smartphones is an interesting, in this broad thing I've outlined. Smartphones is kind of a problem because, you know, Apple's a, you know, small player globally in terms of global share. Samsung's the most dominant, and these Chinese companies like Huawei are picking up. But it's been for, you know, like Microsoft tried it smartphones, Amazon tried it smartphones, both have essentially given up. Google's the only one really trying this, and they're now in their third year of these Pixel phones, which and it shows the problem. These phones are considered really good phones. They're actually among the best reviewed Android phones you can find. A lot of reviewers will say this is the best Android phone you can get, and they've still not even cracked 1% of the global market. So it's still a small seller to the fact that it barely makes a dent. The logic still holds that I've outlined before. You know, the Pixel phone is a very effective showcase and funnel for Google services. It does raise the question, though, do they have to get at least a certain number out there to really kind of have that be a helpful driver of that, you know, or are they going to be content with, you know, 3-4 years from now, still content with selling a really small share and find that worth it? It's a good question because Google has plenty of money to keep trying at this for a while, and they are making really good devices, but it'll be interesting to see kind of how that develops, I think, over the next few years, whether they stick with that, figure out a way to get more share, or maybe decide, well, even though people like our devices, we're just not selling enough of them to even make it worth it from the logic of, you know, driving services and such.
For more, check out Dan's latest at WSJ.com/heard. Dan, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
And that is Tech News Briefing, reporting from the newsroom in New York. I'm Tanya Bustos. Thanks for listening.